sure need it.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Thing to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
That is absolutely true, that there's a lot of times we're worried for absolutely no reason because we haven't gone to the Lord and looked to Him for what we stand in need of. And anxiety and depression brings on all kinds of problems, physically and mentally and emotionally. And let's just be honest, we all battle a part of that. That's a part of what we fight here in this world. And the only answer to that, or the only answer to any of our problems, is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is really the testimony that we're to give this morning. That there's no help in anyone else. There's no food in anyone else. There's no light in anyone else. He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the true vine. He is the shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd. And He's the door. He's our all in all. And that's what I really want to declare this morning. That without the Lord, you're not going to make it. I'm not going to make it here in this world. And if you have that knowledge, if you have that understanding, that doesn't sound like foolishness to you. It's because He's already done something for you that only He can do. Men couldn't have convinced you of that, though they taught you that from a little child. Men could not have taught you what only the Lord can teach you. If you understand the worlds were made by the Word of God, that He spoke this world into existence, that's an evidence that God loved you even before He made the world, that He loved you in covenant, that He made choice of you. He looked down upon all of mankind and saw their fallen, corrupt, depraved state. And He saw us all in that low, low place. A place we could not recover ourselves from. We didn't want to. We didn't have a desire to do it. We were, by the thoughts of our minds, they were enmity against God. It was not subject to the law of God. We hated God. We had no concern for the things of God. And though we may not have said that outwardly, that was the way we lived our lives. Our lives were completely, in a sense, oblivious or unconcerned about God and anything that had to do with God. If anything, it was just more of an afterthought. But then the Lord moves in our lives, and He moves in mysterious ways. He speaks in your heart. You can ignore the minister. You can ignore mama and daddy. You can ignore all the instructors of this world. You can ignore all those that try to reach out and talk to you and tell you things. But I'm telling you, when the Lord speaks, He opens doors men can't open. He opens minds and hearts that are closed off. He shines a light where the darkness will have to go. When He speaks to the devil, the devil's got to go. Our God is King. Our God is Lord. Our God has the power. And if you know Him today, if you love Him today, it isn't because you decided to do that on your own. And that's one of the things the world gets so mixed up about. And so much time is spent trying to convince people of what they need to do in order to get in the good favor of God, and when in reality God's little children are in His good favor because of what the Lord has done for us. It's because of what God did for us. And if you have a desire today to love Him, to know more about Him, to be here, to hear from His Word, to know how you ought to live, to know how you ought to act and walk and behave, it's because somewhere along the way, for you it may have happened in your mother's womb, it did with John the Baptist, or it could have happened in your young life where you don't really remember a time where you didn't have in your heart a love for the Lord. Remember little Sister Robin Lewis talking about being locked in the closet as a foster child. And the God of heaven coming to her in the closet and holding her. And she met Him there. Now, did she find Him or did He find her? He found her. And when she went to other orders and heard what they were saying, that you've got to do something to get God, she said, no, I didn't do anything when I was that little child in the closet. He came to me when I was in the closet. And so she understood Old Baptist doctrine, which is really nothing more or less than the doctrine of the Bible. It's what the Bible teaches. That you cannot, in our dead state, reach up and grab God. You will not and you cannot. It requires a work that's beyond us. We were as helpless as that little girl was and locked in the closet. And the Lord came where she was and held her. And I believe, and I'm in my life, He came where I was and held me. And I think all of you can say He came in my life and held me. And I don't know why, but I'm glad. I'm glad He did, aren't you? I'm glad He did. And we have that kind of God. I don't want to preach a little God today. I don't want to tell you about a God who'd like to help you if you'll help Him, or a God who will do this if you'll do that, or a God who's waiting on you. Oh, there is a sense in which He does, and I do want to talk about that. There is a sense in which He stands at the door and knocks. But it's not the heart, it's not the door of a dead alien sinner that He stands at the door and knocks. It's not waiting on the dead man to do something. No, He knocks that door down. He comes in. He speaks life to the dead. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And He quickens us and gives us life eternal. But then He also requires of us to call on Him and to look to Him and to lean upon Him. There's a reason we're to pray. There's a reason we're to study His Word. There's a reason we're to come to church. There's a reason we're to set under the preaching of the gospel. There's a reason that we should be active in the fellowship of the brethren and hugging one another's neck. There's a reason that we should take up our cross and follow Him in baptism. There's a reason that we should come in the communion table and sit down and remember Him who died for us and paid the sin debt for us. And that is to find communion and fellowship with Him. It's not how you get life, but it's how you enjoy the life that He's given you. Little Sister Robin, when she came and listened to the Old Baptist preach, she said, I've been hearing about a God who wants to help you, but you've got to help Him before He can help you. And I knew that God wasn't the one who came to me in the closet. Sister Robin's in heaven today. She's enjoying the blessings of the Lord who held her in the closet. And she also was blessed for a little while here in this world to sit with God's people in the church and have sweet fellowship. And I thank the Lord that He's given us today that opportunity and that blessing in our lives. That He came to us. Because if He had not come to us, listen, we'd be worried today about what's going to happen. Some of you might be anyway. What's going to happen with the ball game this afternoon or whatever's coming? There's some of that that might be happening. But isn't that really kind of irrelevant compared to all? You know, I can remember a time that was pretty much a priority. What was going on? You know, I just wanted to, you know, when I was a little boy, I just wanted to not so much to watch the game, because when I was a little boy, you didn't see too many games on the television. And when you did, you couldn't hardly see it because of the grainy, you know, the TVs weren't like they are now. Now you walk into somebody's house and the TV's bigger than the house, and then you just, you know, you just sit there and you look at image and you think that picture isn't very clear, and it's so clear you can't, you know, back in the day you just, you know, you turn that antenna to try to get you a little focus. You know, that's the way we turned antennas. We went outside and turned it by the hand. change your channel. There wasn't no click a button. No, and then done. And I thought it was fancy when we got the thing that turned, it'd go click up, click up, click up, click up, and the antenna would break. Well, you had something fancy if you had that. Daddy and Mama had one of those. It was one of us. Go outside and turn that antenna. You'd turn it to the right place and pick up stuff. I don't know how I got off on that. I just know I got some wonderful memories. You do too, don't you? How good God's been to us. In the little things. And the things that we so often get so wrapped up in this world about, we forget about. He's been with us. He's been with me. He's been with you. He is going to continue to be with us. We're not serving a little God. He understands what we're going through. He understands where we are. And we've got a race that's set before us. And we're to run that race with patience. And we're to look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. And we're to keep our eyes on Him. And we're to remind one another, brother, keep looking to Him. Sister, keep leaning on Him. Keep supplying. Keep looking to the one who has supplied to you everything that you stood in need of. I don't know where the television conversation fit in all that. I know this. The things that are happening in this world, even the things that men think are so important, shade in comparison to what's going on right now at this place where we come and wherever God's children come to worship God in spirit and in truth. We come to thank Him for what He's done for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for quickening me. Thank you, Lord, for opening my eyes that I could see. Thank you, Lord, for being with me. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you, Lord, for my church brethren. Thank you, Lord, for the memories that flood my soul. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of God's children. Thank you, Lord, that when I'm pressing a dying pillow, I've got something to hold on to that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to be with me, who's the light at the river, who's going to carry me home and out of this old troubled world one day. And when my body continues, dear sister, to fall apart, and my eyes work less than they used to work, and my ears don't hear any even as bad as they are right now, and everything continues to go worse, I get, in a sense, a little closer to Him all the time. And life is worth the living, we sing, right? Why? Just because He lives. He lives. He lives. He lives to come grab little babies and children in the closet when they need it. He comes right now this morning to where you are and to where I am because I need Him. Do you need Him? I need Him. I need Him to walk with me. I need Him to be with me. I need Him to keep my mind on what's good so I don't get wrapped up on all that's bad. I need Him to keep my thoughts where they belong so when the problems at work get so big I can't handle them, I can go to the Lord and realize they're not very big problems at all, because the one I'm looking to owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, owns all of the owns all of the things that are going on. He made the world and all therein is. And I can trust in that great God to take care of me. And I need fellowship with Him. I need to walk with Him. I need to talk with Him. I need to commune with Him. I need Him to be with me where I am. I'm all over the place in my mind of where to go in Scripture. So I think we'll just look at Revelation chapter 3 this morning. If you have your Bibles, in the last the very last letter that was written to the churches, the seven churches. And I know this is a passage I've used recently, but it's on my mind, and we pray the Lord to just bless us for a little while as we look at it together. And I'm mindful of the time. It's really gone, hasn't it? But thanks be to the Lord. We're here, and the Lord will supply what we need. Revelation chapter 3, reading in verse 14. He says, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." This is a letter that was written, as all these letters were, to the angels, that is, to the pastor of the church, to the overseer of the church. The angel, word angel here in this particular place, there are created angels, and they are watching over God's little children. Now, I'm thankful we know about that. But the Lord has also sent for us messengers here in this world, and it's particularly pastors and teachers of His church. And here a church had an angel that is the messenger, and the messenger was to teach God's little children. So you pray for me that the Lord would bless me as I come before you, that I would preach and teach unto you the things that God lays on my heart. You know what I find? That as I'm looking through the Word of God through the week and studying and leaning and trusting in the Lord, that the Lord is aware of the congregation that I'm going to preach to on Sunday morning, and He will work in their lives in such a way, and He will open the doors for them and open their thoughts. And if you're looking to the Lord, listen, if you look to the Lord, you're going to see a whole lot more than you've been seeing. And I'm not saying you haven't been looking. I'm just saying all of us can look a little better. Y'all believe that? I can lean on Him a lot more. I can trust in Him a lot more. I can do a whole lot better than I've been doing. How about you? I can trust Him more for what's coming this week. I can lean on Him more. Now, I hope you trusted in Him a whole lot last week. But I'm saying you can't trust in Him too much. You can't love Him too much. You can't lean on Him too much. You can't depend on Him too much. You can't call on Him too much. You can't pray too much. You, when you're involved in those activities, are in the place that you ought to be. And I pray, as the Apostle Paul talked about the Philippian brethren, I pray that you'll abound in this more and more. That means you'll love Him better than you've ever loved Him. You'll pray more than you've ever prayed. You'll look to Him and lean upon Him. And as that happens, God will move the ministers that come before you, whether it be a visiting elder or whether it be your pastor. He will move them to preach to you and teach to you in a way that you can't get any other way. In other words, I can go through the Bible systematically and lay that out before you, and it may theologically be sound and correct, but it'll be the dead letter unless the Lord lights it up. And when He lights it up is when you and I come recognizing, Lord, give me today what I need for today. Give me what I'm... You know what's coming this week, Lord. Prepare our pastor when he comes to be able to preach to me, but for the things that are coming my way, because I don't know what's coming, but he does. Y'all believe he does, don't you? I believe he knows what's coming today. I don't believe there's, as Brother Stan used to say, there's no uh-oh moments with God. He doesn't get to a place where he says, oh, I didn't know this was coming. He knows what we're going to face in this world. That can be a help to you. This book is given to you to be a help. This book is His Word. We read last night that He has exalted His Word above His name, which means all of His Word is the truth. Heaven and earth sounds and seems to be so everlasting, doesn't it? Heaven and earth. How long has this earth been here? How long has the heavens been here? And they seem like they'll be here forever. But He said in His Word, heaven and earth shall what? It'll pass away. But what? But my word will be here forever. My word will last forever. We can be thankful to God that we've been given a letter written here. And it was written here to the churches in Asia Minor, even in the first century, and they were going through horrendous problems. They were under severe persecution. They were standing for the truth, preaching the truth, declaring the truth, and being persecuted and suffering for His name's sake. And this letter was written to help them in that day and that age. But it wasn't just written for them. It was written for them, but it was written for us too. And that's true of the whole book. What's wonderful about God's truth is it's going to be forever. And what was true in the olden days is true today. Isn't it good to have truth that isn't changing? The world talks about my truth, your truth, and this truth changes. What was true yesterday is not true tomorrow, today, and won't be true tomorrow. And truth as if it's just something that changes. No, Jesus is what? He's the way, He's the truth, and the life, and He's the same when? Yesterday, today, and how long? Forever. And so you and I are dealing with everlasting eternal principles that will be true in your life, and you and I need this gold that's tried in the fire. I need it. It stood the test of time. This truth that we believe today, when it was applied in the lives of the three Hebrew children, as they were about to go in a fiery furnace, they knew that the God that had taught them and the God who had been with them would not forsake them, and they were willing to go into the fire and die and perish, and God kept them and God preserved them. This truth has been tried. We see throughout the Old Testament, God's little children trusted in the Lord. And when they trusted in the Lord, what happened? The Lord sustained them each and every time. Daniel was able to spend a good night laying in a lion's den. I remember Brother Redmond talking about that lion's den, even to the point he said that probably old Daniel just pulled up a lion, in a sense, and just laid his head on him and rested on him and went to sleep that night. While the king that had thrown him in there couldn't sleep and was troubled because of what he had done, because he knew that it was wrong when he did it. How many days have we spent knowing what we did was wrong and being troubled when we could have found peace and rest by doing what? Simply listening and trusting in God's word. He says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That is, he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ who wrote this letter and spoke this letter and gave it unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, gave it to John to give to them. And these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And verse 15 says, I know thy works. The Lord knows our works. He says that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Oh, brethren, it's a sad state when we in our lives, and if we examine our lives, we'll find ourselves in this state more often than we'll want to admit, when we're really neither cold nor hot. It's like those days you get up and you just go through the day, you know. No thought of where your blessings have come from. No thought of where the goodness and the mercy of the Lord has been with you. No real thought. Maybe a mention of the Lord in a prayer real quickly in order to get to something else. But just going through the motions. It's the Broadway. And I've often thought how easy it is to get into the Broadway. You don't have to strive to enter into the Broadway. All you have to do is get up and breathe air. And you'll be in the Broadway. But to get into that straight and narrow way, and that's not how you get life, but it's how you have communion with the God who's given you life. It's how you live the life abundant. You have to strive to enter in at the straight gate. You have to fight the battle. You have to fight the good fight of faith. You have to put on the whole armor of God. You have to endure hardness as a good soldier. You have to recognize that I'm in a battle. Now, you don't do it alone. It's not by your own strength or by your own power or by your own might, but it's by the grace of Almighty God that we can lean on Him and trust on Him, trust in Him and depend on Him. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. It says here that what their condition was is that they were not aware, they were not focused on my life being about serving the Lord and honoring Him and glorifying Him and living in a way to bring glory and honor unto His name. That they were just neutral. I tell you ever been there? Just neither cold nor hot. Just neutral. Now, when he says cold or hot, he didn't say he would rather them be all the way away or all the way in. He's talking about there are things that you and I are to have no parts with. We're to be cold towards some things. And there are some things that we should embrace and we should be warm toward those things. In other words, there are things that we want to go after in our lives and strive to have. And there are things we should shun and be away from. And if we're neutral, we're just kind of letting life happen to you. He said, I would that you were neither. He said, I would. And thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, I will, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee. That means he will spit us out or vomit us. That doesn't sound good, does it? He will spew us out of his mouth. Now, does that mean we lose our relationship with God? Absolutely not. Our relationship with God is secure in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What He has purchased for us on the cross of Calvary, our home in heaven, our life that's in Christ that has been given to us. You and I didn't do anything to gain that. We don't get cold or hot in order to keep that. But He's talking about not relationship, but He's talking about fellowship. He's talking about communion. He's talking about feeling His presence. He's talking about feeling close to Him. And when are God's little children happy in the Lord? When are they at peace? When are they resting? When do they find joy and peace and comfort in this world? It's when you feel close to the Lord, when you feel close to Him. And we're to strive for that. We're not to be lukewarm, where we're neither hot nor cold, where we can take it or leave it, where missing church just doesn't matter one way or the other, or missing my study doesn't matter one way or the other. And you can have the world so enter into your life, can't we? That sometimes we get like that. Listen, all of us can get like that. The striving here and the warning here, he says that because you're, and this is to a church can become like that. Where we come to church and we just, you know, we do the singing like we do each time. We hug one another, but we don't really hug one another. We hug one another, but our thoughts are far off. The preacher gets up and takes his 30 minutes or 40 minutes or 60 minutes or sometimes longer. And he takes that time and we listen to it, but I'm not affected by it very much. I'm kind of just, when I get out the door, nothing's really changed. I just go through the motions, and then next week we get up and we do it all over again. Or we go to another church and do it all over again. But it's not anything that's really substantive that you really feel in your life. I hope and pray that's not where we are, but I know this, we can get there. The preacher can get there. Where he says, well, here we go again. It's just, you know, we say, and it'll show up sometimes like this. You'll have a union meeting and you'll go like, oh boy, this is going to be a special meeting. We got brethren coming. It's going to be a special time. I really want to get there. Sometimes it goes the other way. Oh, we got a union meeting. And oh, there's a lot of cooking to do. There's a lot of preparation to do. And we're going to be listening to maybe 3 or 4 or 5 and sometimes 6. Preachers, and what are we going? And I'll be glad when it's over. And I hope that's not the case. But I'm saying to you, let's get real. There are sometimes we're not looking forward to the meetings and to the fellowship of God's children nearly as much as we should. At least let me say it this way. I don't want to judge you, but I want to say with me, I battle those things. And if you do, come along with me. Because the warning is here, I become lukewarm. I can take it or I can leave it. Brethren, I want you to know you and I really need this. We need fellowship with the Lord. We need the instruction that comes from His Word. We need the guidance that His Word gives us. We need the preaching of the gospel. We need the fellowship of the brethren. It's a cold place out there in that world, isn't it? The prodigal son didn't see that until he got away from the father's house. But when he got away from the Father's house and he remembered what was at Dad's house and what was at the Father's house, he said, I just want to get back home and I'll just be like one of his hired servants. And when I come home, I don't know whether they're going to take me back or not, but I do know this. I'm going to be at home, so I'm going to come home. I know I can't stand it out here anymore. You right there? I can't stand it anymore. I need help. Do y'all believe our world needs help? I think it does. I know this. I need help in this old world that I'm in. And there's help in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't want to be lukewarm about the things of God. I don't believe you do either. Lord, keep me warm. Keep my heart warm. Keep my hunger. Keep me full of hunger for thy word. Lord, help me enjoy those sermons that I get to hear. Help me, O Lord, feed on thy word. Help me and the psalms. You know, sometimes we're singing psalms and we're just going through the motions. We're singing psalms and we're really not wondering. But isn't it good? And here's the difference. Isn't it good when you really can feel them? Isn't it good when you can really feel the preaching, when you can really hear the singing and feel the singing? Isn't it good when you can hug a brother's neck and you can really feel it? When the Lord so manifests his presence that you feel like, oh, this is such a wonderful place to be. I don't want to be anywhere else. Sometimes we can think back of meetings like that and we can say, oh, how I long for them. Listen, what he says for you is that each time we meet, as we look to Jesus, the one who supplied it then is with us now, and he can supply it to us each and every time. He said this, because thou sayest, wow, I'll try to, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And I'm going to be quick with this. I'm going to try to be quick with this. Stop laughing, Brother Terry. Knowest not. We don't know how bad off we are. That's why it's important for old Baptist preachers to tell you how bad off you are. That's part of the charge. Their duty is to knock the stuffings out of you before they do anything else. To tell you that you're rotten and you're no good. And as I've said before, the reason you're rotten and no good is because your parents were rotten and no good. And the reason your parents were rotten and no good is because your grandparents were rotten and no good. And that goes all the way back to Adam. He is our federal head. And in Adam, we didn't get along okay. We died. In Adam, we died. And we are wretches. No one dear brother that says, if you look at the word wretch in the dictionary and he didn't know what the definition was, he said, but they ought to put my picture in there right by it so everybody would see what a wretch is. That's where we all are. Wouldn't that be something if you open up a dictionary and there it says wretch and right by it was your picture? I saw in one of the hardware stores here locally, a wall of shame of a bunch of pictures of people that had been taken. I guess they had either done something or taken something. They had a video camera on them, and when they put the camera on them and they took it, they put their picture right up there. Here's a wall of shame. And I had just gotten a bag of popcorn free and asked somebody about it. I said, this don't get me on the wall of shame, does it? And they said, no. They had one person's picture on there that had asked to put his picture there, wanted his picture there, put my picture up there. I'll tell you, I wouldn't want my picture on the wall of shame, would you? But I'm telling you, that's where it was. And that's where it would be. And that's where it would stay if it were not for the grace of God. I'm a wretch. And I need to know I'm a wretch. Why? Because that'll draw me closer to the one that can help me. And the one who is my help. That'll draw me to him. He says, you have forgotten that you were wretched and you were miserable. That means you were full, you were to be pitied. No one could help you. You couldn't help yourself. No one could help you. No one, that is man, can help you other than the man, the Son of God who did help you. You were wretched and you're miserable and you're poor. And we don't have any We don't have any riches. Doesn't matter how much money you have. If you had all the money that Elon Musk had, if you had all the money that all the men of this world that claim they have it, it would mean nothing if you don't have what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and fellowship with Him. And I say to you, you're richer than the richest of men, naturally speaking, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ. Little Sister Robin was rich as a little baby in a closet, or as a young child in a closet, when the Lord came and held her there. Because she had Him. And that means if you've got Him, I want you to know, don't be discouraged. You and I are rich today in the Lord. But we can't always see it, can we? We can't always understand it. He says, "Thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind." That means I can't see. I won't be able to see. I can't figure this out. And I'm naked. That means I have no righteousness. I have no way to present myself before God and be acceptable. I'm like Adam in the garden when he realized and had eaten of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The first thing he did is he realized, I'm naked. And so what did he do? He tried to clothe himself, and he tried to take those fig leaves and clothe himself. And I imagine when the sun came up and shined on those fig leaves, how they withered up and dried away. And that just wasn't sufficient. You know why? Because there needed to be a price paid. The Lord clothed them sufficiently. Aren't you glad the Lord clothed them? And how did He do that? He slew an animal and took the skin from that animal and clothed them. And that pictures what was done for us when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the tree of the cross. And there in our room instead presented Himself as the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. And He was crucified, and He was beaten, and He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was put upon Him. And He paid the price, and by His stripes, we weren't made a little better. We were healed. And He did what we could not do for ourselves. He says this, verse 18. Now I'll close with this verse, even though I wanted to get to the others. Y'all read them all. He says, I counsel thee. This is what Jesus says to us this morning. He said, I counsel thee. We need some good counselor. He's counselor. Who is Jesus? He's wonderful. Counselor. He's counselor. He's the mighty. You want a counselor? You need somebody. I need it. If somebody gets troubled in this world, they go to a counselor, and the counselor will help them. Let me tell you, this counselor will help you above every other counselor. And if you go to a counselor of this world and he's not giving you the advice that comes from this counselor, you need to change counselors. Because this is the counselor of counselors. He says, I counsel thee to buy me what? Gold tried in the fire. What is this gold tried in the fire? It's this book. It's His word. You take His word, you live by it. It's the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can build your house upon these teachings. And your house is going to stand the storms of life and the problems of life. Whether you're young or old, you need to know how it is you ought to live. How it is you ought to walk to be like Christ. And the way we're to do like that, to be like that, is to take His word and apply it to our lives. It's about putting on what? The whole armor of God. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and your loins girt about with what? The truth. And nothing for the backside, because we're not to go backwards. We're to go forwards into battle. And as you go forward into battle, you'll have the strength that you need to be the good soldier that He's called you to be. And you'll find peace and joy. Just like He said, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's using the gold that's tried in the fire. That thou mayest be rich. And I mean rich. I mean having everything you need. Having everything you need for living and everything you need for dying. And that's all you're going to do. You're either going to live or die. And so if you have this, you'll have everything you need. And he says, and white raiment. Now when he said buy it, what does that mean? You buy without money and without price. You simply, you lay off what you have, and you lay hold on to what he has. You put off what you have. You buy it by giving away everything you've got. What did he tell the young rich ruler? He told that young rich ruler, he said, sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me and you'll have treasures in heaven. That means we're to put him first above all things. And then he says, and let me close my book. And gold tried and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. That's his righteousness. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Psalm 27 says, I have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness, to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You ever just look out in the world and you can't see any good at all? Some days get that dark. We just look at your life, can't see any good at all. See what's going on in your life and your eyes are so blinded that you can't see the good. Remember this. When we come to Jesus, he gives us eye salve so that we can see. And what we're blessed to see is the goodness of the Lord. Now listen, the goodness of the Lord's been there all the time. Just because you didn't see it and I didn't see it, doesn't mean it isn't there. But when you come to the Lord and you lean upon him, he gives you eye salve that allows you to see the goodness of the Lord. Where? In the land of the living. I believe the Lord is moving in our lives and in the lives of many of the Lord's people. And sometimes we just simply can't see it because we're looking at the wrong thing and in the wrong place. And we're not leaning upon him. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I'll come and sup with him and he with me. And brethren, I'm telling you, that's what you enjoy when we look to the Lord, lean upon the Lord, and trust in the Lord. We have fellowship with him. And that's enjoying the kingdom. It's a little taste of what we're going to have in heaven. May the Lord bless us. I appreciate your kind attention and your patience with me. I'm going to stop. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. What number?
37.
You didn't call it either. What a day that will be. And it will be a wonderful day. We'll stand and sing 370. If there be one or more here today that love the Lord and have a desire to take up the cross and follow him in baptism, to be a member here at this church at Happy Creek. If you feel that in your heart, you let your feelings be made known as we stand and sing together. What a day that will be. 307. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through
the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Be seated just a moment, please. Love you, Lord, Terry. Just a general announcement that on each Wednesday night, there's a Zoom meeting that comes from Meadow Creek Primitive Baptist Church down in North Carolina. Anybody who's interested in linking into that or logging on to that, just ask me and I'll be glad to send you the information. You can also find it right online. If you look up Meadow Creek Primitive Baptist Church, they give you the information where you can just log on there, and they do that each Wednesday night. Also, on each Saturday for a while, we'll be meeting with Bethel Washington Primitive Baptist Church online, and enjoyed the meeting yesterday. That'll be at Bethel Washington's number, and I'll be glad to send that link to anybody. I think I'm sending it about everybody anyway, but I do go through those links and think about the folks when I'm sending them, and each individual one kind of gives me, I get an opportunity to think about you and pray for you, and I need your prayers. Please remember me in your prayers. So, is there any other announcements that you know of we need to make, upcoming meetings or anything? I don't think we know of anything. It's been a blessing to have each and every one of you here. Sorry I was so seemingly scattered, and I hope it was clear enough, but please pray for me and continue to pray for me in my study and my efforts to preach the gospel. Pray for all of our ministering brethren that stand before you. Remember your pastors and our little churches. We're in a world that really needs instruction. It comes from God's word, and we pray that the Lord will continue to give us what we need. If all minds are clear, then we'll stand and look to the Lord in this mission. Brother Jay, we're thankful you're here. We're going to ask you if you'd lead us in a word of prayer, brother.
Almighty God, dismiss us with thy blessing. We're joyful in our hearts to be able to gather here at Happy Creek in this sacred hour of rest, sing songs of praises.
Thank you, Lord.
To lift prayers up to the Father, to be heard, to be answered according to his will. O Lord, the Holy Spirit, it was here. We heard it. The gospel was preached. I'm enriched. My heart is lifted.
Thank you, Lord.
Almighty God, help us be better servants.
Help us, Lord.
Give me a heart to pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Where I feel, though. You express what I feel. Help me, Lord. Sister Sarah.
It's so good having you here. God bless you. Hey, Mama. Good. I can tell I missed it. But it's good seeing you.
Brother Joe.
Okay. How you, brother?
Yeah. I'm glad to see you. It's been a while. Yeah. Nice to Yeah, my belt didn't turn into a skating
take care.
Love you. See y'all.
Yeah.
One day. Take care.